One sat alone beside the highway begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee.
It's time to open the Word once again with Evangelist Lester Roloff on the Family Altar Program.
Glory, for all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
Is Christ really divine? Well, let's see. Professor G.A. Coe of Union Seminary, an author of the book, The Psychology of Religion. And that don't sound good to me. Psychology of Religion. Once said, religion is wholly within the natural psychological order. The joy which often accompanies conversion is nothing more or less than the effect of religious laughing gas. Thank God I've been gassed. You know where he's from? He's from the school that used to turn out preachers and missionaries. All these schools I mentioned have gone to the devil. None of them turning out preachers, but promoters and little puppets. Is Christ really divine? Is he really divine? Well, let's go a little further. You've heard of Dr. Harry Emerson Fosdick. He once spoke of heaven as a religious serenade. In 1945, he wrote a letter in which he is quoted as saying, I am a liberal in theology. Of course I do not believe in the virgin birth or in that old substitutionary doctrine of the atonement, and I do not know any intelligent minister that does. He stole all my intelligence, didn't he? And yet, come on, we're reaping the harvest from smart alecks like him. He was one of the first modernists and liberal thinkers in religion. And now then, we've grown up a crop of infidels. And you've heard me say, a modernist is an infidel that got to go to college. John chapter 9, what does the Bible say about the divinity of Christ? You recognize that this is the chapter that I've shared some of you, at least with you, on the radio. As Jesus passed by, verse 1, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me. While it's day, the night cometh when no man can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sin. He went his way therefore and washed, and came seeing. The neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat in bed? Some said, this is he. Others said, he's like him. But he said, I am he. If the Lord ever really does something for you, you'll know who he did it for. I mean, you won't have to go ask grandma. You won't have to go ask the preacher. If something genuine happened, this is a strange chapter in the Word of God, and there's not another chapter like it that I know of in the Bible. And he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, how are thine eyes open? He answered and said, a man that's called Jesus made clay, anointed mine eyes, said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. I went and washed. I received sight. Just took him one verse to say it. You know, if you've had something real, it don't take long to tell it. Then said they unto him, where is he? He said, I know not. I don't know. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. Now here's where the trouble starts right here. They brought him to the religious brass hats. That's where our trouble's coming from, really. You think it's the human resources? No, no. It's the religious resources. That's the crowd. If they'd stand, we never would be in the fix we're in this country. You let the preachers go back to the pulpit and give us about a few thousand Azariahs, like we're going to see here in a few days. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, he put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed, and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man's not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that's a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. They said unto the blind man, again, what sayest thou of him that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, he's a prophet. Now this is three times he's already given his testimony. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. I want to show you the strong ties of religion. It's in Corpus. It's in the Catholicism. It's in among the Jews. It's among the Baptists. Religion is the sorriest thing I know in the world. It's the most popular way to go to hell. The road to hell is paved with religion. There's nothing as dangerous as religion. And they asked them, saying, is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, look out. We know that this is our son, that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not, and you're lying like an egg-sucking dog. I'll guarantee you that mother and dad lied because they afraid they'd be kicked out of the synagogue. And the synagogue had done nothing for their son. Nothing. He'd gone every Saturday all of his life, gone in blind and walked out blind, and he met Jesus. And in a little while in the pool of Siloam, his eyes were open, and he came back seeing. And I imagine ran wide open down the road and jumped the gate at the home fence and said, Mama, I want to see what you look like. And Mama said, oh, John, what happened to you? He said, I can see. He said, have you been down to the synagogue? Nope. I was there last Saturday and heard the announcement, but that's not where it happened. Come on, you old hard-necked Baptists and Methodists and Jews and Presbyterians and Catholics. Brother, let me tell you, your religion will never save you, but Jesus will. Well, she said, son, I'm so glad for you. You've been blind all of your life. And he said, oh, mother, everything looks so wonderful. I tell you, Dad, hey, my, you look like a real man, Dad. And I'm glad to get... And he looked at maybe brothers and sisters and everything. And he looked at the sunrise and the sunset. And they knew exactly. Well, said, son, come a minute. What happened to you? Oh, said, I met a man called Jesus. Jesus. Did you say Jesus? Yeah, I said Jesus. And he made spittle out of some clay and made a salve and out of the spittle and the clay and put it on the eyes and told me to go wash in the pool of Siloam. And said, it's a miracle. How I found it, but I got there. And said, I tell you, mother, when I got to that pool of Siloam and reached down and got that water and washed my eyes, whoo, they opened just like that. And they've been open ever since. And I'm not even going to an optometrist. I know they're all right. Ah, listen. And the mother looked at the husband, and a frown came across her face. And she said, son, are you sure that our rabbi didn't do it? I'm sure, mother, he didn't do it. Religion just won't open blind eyes. It'll take Jesus. Whether it's Baptist or whether it's Catholic, don't make a lick of it. Only Jesus. And so they're putting him on the carpet now. And they take him to the Pharisees, the religious leaders, and they said, boy, the mother and daddy on the carpet. They're standing there, and boy, their hearts beating, you know, real fast. And said, is this your son? Yes, sir. We know that this is our son. All right. Was he born blind? Yes, sir. He's been blind all of his life. Can he see now? Yes, sir. He can. How did it happen? Look out. She looked at her husband. Her husband looked at her and said, we don't believe we know how it happened. Boy, that's the power of religion. I went to school with a precious friend. He had his own religion. His mother and daddy had their religion. We talked and prayed with Dave. We ate at the same table at the boarding house. We called it the Mr. and Miss Parsons running. We called it the parsonage. And we'd sit at the table, and as when I was milking my way through school and had my little old cow, and we had plenty of fresh milk and homemade butter and buttermilk and all the nice things that we had on the farm. And we talked to Dave. He said, listen, I could never give up my religion. Never. I could never give up my religion. If my mother and daddy go to hell, I'll go with him. I'll never turn my back on my dad's religion. Dave's story. Well, I guess I'll never forget. That's been 45 years ago when Dave said, I'll never give up my religion. Not for your Christ or for your salvation. We know that this is our son, that he was born blind, but by what means, he now saith, we know not, or who hath opened his eyes? We know not. He's of age. Ask him. He shall speak for himself. You can count on that. I guarantee, just ask him. He'll tell you. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, he's of age. Let him tell it. Ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. He said, now you know the chapter started off, the disciples asked for a theological discussion. And Jesus said, let me go to work. Just let me go to work. We can talk about who's sin later. But let's get this man's eyes open and quit talking about theology. Let's quit theorizing and get to practicing something. And so he got his eyes. Now then, here they come, same old story. And they said, now we know that this man is a sinner. Man said, I don't know a thing about being a sinner, but I just know one thing. My eyes were blind, but they're not blind anymore. I can see. That's good enough for me. Now here's the strange thing, folks. This man is doing all this testifying for Jesus without being saved or even knowing that he's divine. Again, he didn't know the Lord. He didn't know Jesus Christ as his Savior. He's an unsaved man. Now, I'm going to show you how he found it. And I'm going to show you how you can find him here tonight. Now, I've been intending to preach this for many, many weeks, but I've been wanting to preach it before my people instead of just on the radio right here in this church. And so he's coming now to the crisis of all of his crises. Now, remember this. The synagogue is fixing to boot him out. Let me read it. He's fixing to get kicked out. Then said they to him again, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I've told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? Would you like to join it? Now remember, you saved Christians, you born again. He hadn't even been saved yet, but he's sure taken up for Jesus, isn't he? I mean, he's fighting a good fight of faith, isn't he? Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we're Moses' disciple. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, why, hearing is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Y'all supposed to know all about religion. You don't even know him. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sin, and dost thou teach us? And they booted him out. Well, they kept their promise, didn't they? They said, if any man admits that he stands for Jesus, he'll be kicked out of the synagogue. This is a part of his crisis. Now then, the second thing that happened to him, he was kicked out of his home. His own mother and dad refused to stand with him. They said, we will not say who did it. We'll play like we don't know. And let me tell you something, folks. And I say this with a good deal of reverence and respect. When a Jew loses his mother and daddy, he loses the closest tie he's got. And this fellow, though unsaved, was willing to give his mother and dad up in order to testify for the one who opened his blind eyes. Yes, but remember, he's still unsaved. He's not a Christian. He's never been saved. And now then, I'm going to show you what I think prepared the way. And this just about happens to happen to everybody else. And he said, in this next verse, Jesus heard. Amen. Jesus heard. You know, I put a little word in there today. H-O-W. How? I never had seen that. Jesus heard that they'd cast him out. And when he'd found him, he said unto him something. Now then, the question I raised was, how did he find it out? Do you suppose, can you, with your faith and with your imagination, can you just see him when he said, you know, I've lost my synagogue. My pastor, the rabbi, has kicked me out. Mother and daddy have refused to believe that Jesus did it. The neighbors think I'm a strange fellow. I stand all alone, looks like, with my miracle, but thank God I still have my eyes. And do you suppose maybe that he fell on his knees in some lonely spot and said, Lord, wherever you may be, the synagogue didn't do anything for me but leave me blind. My mother and daddy, though they loved me, but they never did open my eyes. Oh, they held me and led me and showed me around when I couldn't see my way. But, Lord, is there a Lord somewhere? Could you come now? You've opened my physical eyes. Seem like I must be blind in my heart. Could you come? He heard. Jesus said, I'm listening to you. You've lost everything. And now then you're ready to gain everything. And Jesus, about the time the man stood outside the gate and looked around and there wasn't anybody coming. The synagogue is down one road, mother and daddy one, and the neighbors and friends, but he's still seeing. And he said, surely. And I imagine he said, looks to me like a man that could open my eyes. That could be God. And Jesus come walking up and asked him the question. What a tremendous question. Dost thou believe on the Son of God? Is Jesus divine? Folks, if Jesus is not divine, virgin born, sinless life, atoning death, glorious resurrection, everything in here is a lie. You'll never convince this preacher that Jesus is not divine. He's promised many things he's kept ever promised. Never turned his back on me. The thing that amazes me is that Jesus has done some perfect jobs, but he's always had to use imperfection to do it with. That's a miracle. That's divine. And so he said, dost thou believe on the Son of God? And this poor, lonely, but happy man looking at Jesus, he said, who is he that I may believe? It is he that's talking to you. I am he. A big article came out in the paper the other day and said that Jesus never claimed to be divine. What a lie. What did he say right here? Why, just read it. Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And when you do that, you enter in. Lord, he recognized the lordship of Christ. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? They said, believe on the Lord. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's it. That's all I've ever preached for 45 years. I've never seen anybody believe on the Lord Jesus Christ without getting saved. Never. I've never known of anybody to call on the name of the Lord without getting saved. The Bible said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And folks, we're right now at the heart of the secret. Jesus comes in. Not a matter of making up your mind. Not a matter of willpower. Brother, your willpower, most of it's want power or don't power. Only Jesus can be our will. Lord, I believe, and he worshiped him. And Jesus said, for judgment I'm coming to this world, that they which see might see, that they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, if ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, we see, therefore your sin remains. Turn to Mark chapter 14. Verse 61 first. Jesus has refused to answer. He kept quiet. Of course, the high priest said, you mean you're not going to answer anything? What is it which these witness against thee? He held his peace and answered nothing. Again, the high priest asked him and said unto him, art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus said, I am. And that's it. I am. And ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes and said, what need we any further witnesses? He himself has confessed, and he's guilty because of his own testimony, because he said, I am the Christ. And I've got good news. The Messiah is not going to come. He's already come, except he's coming back again to receive those who trusted him. Yes, you and I tonight are facing, in our generation, probably the return of our Christ. I do not know the date, the hour, or the time, but I just know what he said. I was reading in the book of Acts today, chapter 1, when Jesus walked out with his nail-scarred hands, he waved goodbye and said, I'm going to go away now. And they kept standing there with their eyes gazing into the cloud. And an angel came, a representative from heaven, came and asked a question. Why stand ye here gazing in the clouds? This same Jesus that you've seen go away shall in like manner come again. The one thing that I love about Jesus is his sameness. I've seen everything change since I was born. I've seen boundary lines change. I've seen religions change. I've seen our nation change. I was just thinking today, we're living in a time of tremendous progress. Great, powerful 747s climbing like a pheasant to 40,000, leveling off, and said, we're now approaching Honolulu. Man took off down yonder. They blasted him off, and up through the space he went, and he got up there and walked around on the moon. We used to talk about, you remember Superman? Huh? Boy, Superman would wave his shirt tail in the air and jump off of a building and flip and fly. Superman! Little old boy, you'd find him with them things all around him, you know, Superman! And now then, we've really lived. We've seen Superman. My dear friends, there's just one real Superman, and that's Jesus. That Superman is coming back for those who had a supernatural experience and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, as we close the message tonight, we've looked at a man. He was blind. His eyes were open because he obeyed Jesus. You say, was it the water to pool us? No, his obedience to Jesus Christ. Amen. When the 10 lepers were sitting out there, all of them, their flesh falling over their bones, and they were cracked open, and they stood across the fence, and Jesus saw them. And you know, Jesus had a way and has a way of seeing people in trouble, doesn't he? He saw the blind man. Nobody else saw him. I guess back in those days of lack of sanitation, they had many blind people. all sorts of leprosy and so forth, but Jesus, he was always looking for a leper or a blind. He said, oh, wait a minute, yonder's a blind man. Let's go over there. And yonder's 10 lepers. Let's get over there. And he started, and they held up their hands and hollered, unclean. And Jesus said, that's freedom coming. And they said, you didn't understand, unclean! And Jesus cut through the fence and walked up to him and laid his hand on him. And he said, I want you to go show yourself to the preacher. And they took off down the road. Now, they could have said, listen, we've been to all sorts of preachers, magicians and everything else. You tell us to go to, he said, you go show yourself to the preacher. Down the road they went, and while they went, they got healed. And here's the thing, it's amazing. He healed 9 ingrates, and only 1 out of 10 said thank you. That's about our batting average. I don't think we'll do any better than Jesus. Amen. If only one thanked him for knocking out the leprosy, and they took off down the road without saying thank you, Jesus, we might as well expect about that now.
Thank you for joining us today on the Family Altar Program with Lester Roloff. You may listen to the preaching and the special music of the Family Altar Program 24 hours a day when you visit our ministry website, roloff.org. We love hearing from our listeners. If this broadcast has been a blessing to you, please write to us at Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, P.O. Box 100, Fort Thomas, Arizona, 85536. Again, that's Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, P.O. Box 100, Fort Thomas, Arizona, 85536. This broadcast is made possible by the prayers and financial support of listeners like you. Thank you for partnering with us, and remember that Christ is the answer.